Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. I'm Dave Kubikin.
Good morning. I'm Kim Hance. So you're not Jay-Marie Schaefer this
morning? I'm not. Jay-Marie is warm and cozy at home, I hope.
I know.
Kim and I are from the Herzog Law Firm, and every single weekend, some combo of Kim, myself, Phil Vacchio, Jay-Marie Schaefer are here talking to you about estate planning and elder law and home care and snow and snow and snow. You know, Kim, you know, there's a replay of this show on Sundays, right, in Ulster County. And,
right.
And a lot of times we got to be careful with what we talk about because the weather up here might not be the weather down there.
The same, that's right.
This is one of the rare where I don't care where you are, you're waking up to a lot of snow.
Everybody got it.
Yeah, hopefully Ulster County, I think, got a lot more than we did here in Albany County. So.
There's been a couple like that. Yeah they had Long Island had a warning for a very long time.
Well, I was going to say, my in-laws are up from Florida and Long Island, and they were saying that they were scheduled to get something.
Well, so Kim, I don't know who's out there in their car right now listening to us. If you have one of those old-time radios and you're listening by a fire in your home, then, that's nice.
Welcome, and I hope everybody had a good holiday, right?
But
we're still in the midst of it.
They have no excuse for not calling in.
Well, this is true.
Yeah, 518-476-5900 if you have any questions. Public service announcement to everyone, Kim. We say this every single time. There's one of these weather events during the winter. Please be careful out there. If you are, you know, if you have kids that are old enough to shovel, let them shovel.
That's right.
You know, just don't be a hero.
Which is why you were out shoving by yourself.
Don't be a hero.
I still haven't caught my breath. Oh, man.
It's hard work.
I'm looking forward to when Alex is, he's six right now, but when he's 16, I'm putting my feet up.
16.
I'd be doing it now.
I'll be helping.
Get him his little shovel.
It's a little more. Yeah. They tried last night for a little bit, and it was a little more harm than good. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, I guess you could just leave the pile of snow right there.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
But seriously, it's you got to be real careful because we know, and you know, for listeners that don't know, Kim has a very special role in the firm, and let's just say I don't want you speaking to Kim. If we could help it, because I'd love lovely fact patterns where everyone's healthy forever and everyone's strong forever.
Yeah,
everyone's feeling great. And the fact patterns where we start to get Kim a little more involved happens to be right home care and, you know, long-term care. And if there is a fall on ice, if there is something that happens, there's a trajectory there. There's maybe rehab and you get better. Maybe your 100% isn't quite what it used to be. And that's where Kim will come in to kind of try to save the day.
It's also a diagnosis too, right?
Yeah.
And I think one of the, when I was thinking about this morning, I was thinking about one of the clients that I've just started working with, and really his is a diagnosis that kind of prompted my involvement. And what's interesting about this gentleman in particular is he's somebody who spent a long time in the system because he's a physician. And then got a diagnosis of Parkinson's. And I think his initial knee-jerk or reaction was, I have to get rid of everything. I have to move. I have to, you know, prepare for which is great because we always say we want people to prepare.
So,
right?
So this is a gentleman who is not, someone who doesn't realize we get older. He doesn't realize that there's ailments out there.
100%.
And he gets diagnosed with something where he kind of sees the future.
Right.
He knows the future. He's educated on it.
Right.
And is he acting a little too quick?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. So what's interesting is, you know, I met with him and his significant other, and it became very clear to me very quickly that and some of the decisions that he was making, he was really affecting the quality of his life that he was going to have. So this is somebody who has traveled the world, who's collected art everywhere, who has a four-story brownstone that he loves, has a dedicated music room, a wall full of, you would love it, full of vinyl albums.
45s.
Like it's all vinyl. You know, he's got this amazing sound. Like, so when I'm, so a lot of what I do when I first meet with somebody, right, I'm learning about them. I'm learning their story. I'm listening to kind of what makes them tick so that I can kind of build on that and help them sort of understand what resources might best match what they're doing. So he had already, they had already started looking at different long-term care communities, and they had sort of really honed in on one that had independent living, assisted living, nursing home, sort of a continuing care. But the independent living had very stringent admission.
So I have questions for a moment, Kim.
Sure.
So a lot of the long-term care kind of diagnosis that we see, whether it's dementia, it's Parkinson's, it might be MS, it might be this, it might be that. There, I call those things like dimmers as opposed to light switches, because you don't, you know, you're not just diagnosed with something and then, yep, there you go. Well, you can't go to work anymore. You can't drive anymore. You know, we have, you have clients that you see, we have clients that we see where there's, matter of fact, they've been diagnosed with, you know, dementia. They got to the appointment by driving, you know, they're okay.
Yeah.
Right. But we also know what the future is, and that's why we are always telling people, you know, shouting from the mountaintops, plan ahead of time because you never know. And then when there is a diagnosis, start to plan. I feel like maybe things are not so great for him if he's already looking at downsizing that significantly.
No, but that's not the case.
Okay.
So that's where I'm kind of going with this. Is it a meeting with, he's still driving. He still participates, you know, so I'm learning about his community. He has this amazing boxing, Parkinson's boxing class that he attends. He, so
I heard that's great, by the way, for,
it's
for
amazing.
Parkinson's. Have you heard of that, John?
Right.
So if you have Parkinson's, one of the great ways to treat it, are boxing classes to kind of,
that's great.
Yeah.
Well, you know, my brother does that all the time.
Crossing your middle line. So you, and you're having to like cognitively engage because you're following patterns. It's physical, and one of the things that they really want you to do when you have Parkinson's is in, you know, keep your mobility going. It's pretty vigorous. So what was interesting is I actually went to one of the classes because I wanted to see what it was all about. I was like, holy moly, this is an hour, this is an hour of work. It was a workout.
But you keep your arms up and it's great. You
know, and you're, and they really encourage movement. But what was so interesting is they create these patterns. And so they have numbers where you're like 1, 3, 7, you know, so you're constantly having. And what a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, Parkinson's can be mobility, but it can also be cognitive.
And by the way, you just did a right cross to your microphone. You're boxing. You're really acting it out there.
I know. If I had to sit on my hands, it would not be good. I couldn't talk. And then we just opened, there's a YMCA on Wolf Road that is a Parkinson's Y. So they have like classes specially designed.
Oh, wow.
So we've gotten him sort of engaged in that. So as I'm looking, I think he really put the cart before the horse because he was so worried that he wasn't going to qualify for independent living that he felt like he just needed to move so that he could get into independent living. And then if he should need assisted living, things like that down the road, there are some independent livings that allow aging in place, which means you would never have to move again. So the one that they had sort of locked in on was one of those that had a very stringent admissions criteria, which I'm not sure at this point he would qualify for because they look for somebody to be able to be an independent for 1 to 2 years, right? And then these, to go from independent to assisted living for somebody like this, right? Because we're also looking at the individual. And this is somebody who loves the greater things in life, right? I can't imagine
four stories of stuff in a house.
Well, right. But I can't imagine him living in a one-room assisted living and not being able to listen to his music at full, you know, full volume, right?
I think I see where this is going, so I won't ask the question I was going to ask. But how is he with stairs, out of curiosity?
Great.
So brownstone, four-story, not a big deal.
Physically, he's in amazing shape. So there were some things that we talked about that if this progressed, we can add, his brownstone would accommodate a chairlift if we wanted.
Sure.
You know, so then we started talking about care and what care would look like. He happens to have a really incredible long-term care insurance policy, which means while he wouldn't be eligible to use it right now because he doesn't have the two activities of daily need.
He's doing great.
Because he's doing really well. Yeah. His is a little more cognitive. It's a little more executive functioning. So it takes him a lot longer to balance his checkbook. It takes him a lot longer to sort his medications. And he takes a lot of medication. So those are the things that he's struggling with a little bit. His significant other lives about an hour away in the mid-Hudson Valley. He's here in Albany, and he was looking at moving his whole center of everything that he does here down more in the Hudson Valley. And so he was going to be giving up the boxing, going to the Y, like his beloved wine. I mean, his wine cellar he has over 1,000 bottles of wine in his wine. So, you know, so there were all those things that when I'm looking at the whole person, right, and I think that's where I'm driving here. As a care manager, one of the things that I do is I look at the whole person.
Yeah.
And I look at really what makes somebody tick. And I could see how much he was grieving sort of all of that. It's not just the diagnosis, right? But it was all the things that enhance his life and that make him whole and that he loves.
Yeah.
And so I did a home visit with them last week in his home here in Albany. And I just said to him, like, I cannot see you making your world so small.
Yeah.
Your world has been your beautiful plants in your kitchen that you tend to, all of these things. And I said, so let's talk about what home care could look like. Let's talk about what a plan could look like. And so we explored a lot of different options, but he had no idea, you know, that could be afforded to him. You know,
I feel like him, you know, we tell people, or when we meet with someone, when I meet with someone and they look great, and I look at their question, I'm like, I cannot believe you're 87 years old.
Right?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And I always am like, what's the secret?
Yeah.
And it's not always, you know, living pure and this and that. Yeah. You know, they have fun,
yeah.
Whoever.
Yeah, yeah.
But they do what they love and they keep doing what they love, whether it's a certain kind of exercise, whether they're still working in some capacity just to get their brain going. And I feel like it's a self-fulfilling prophecy for this guy. If he downsizes too early, stops doing the things he loves, he's going to get depressed.
100%. Yep. And so that was the conversation we were having, right? And I just said to him, like, I feel like, yes, perhaps at some point this might be what you're looking at. But I also don't think that the independent living, that the continuing care community that you're looking at is the best fit, right? So let's talk about, there are some independent living communities out there that will allow aging in place, will allow you to bring in care indefinitely. You know, because again, this was not somebody that I could see living in a studio apartment. And it's, I mean, assisted livings are amazing. I'm not trying to, you know.
Well, let me ask you, Kim, do you see him living in a 4-story brownstone with help coming in?
100%. If that's what he chose,
because that's
what
exactly
he chose to do.
I feel like our listeners would say, hey, wait a minute. You guys always talk about care at home, right?
Right,
so
right.
He seems like the most perfect candidate because it sounds like, it sounds like he's got the resources personally, and he's also got this insurance eventually.
Yep.
That'll bring that care at home. Yep. What about social stuff? I mean, is he looking for the social aspects?
So that was the other conversation we had, right? Because I always want to understand something. He's not really a joiner per se. So, but by him doing the boxing class, that's a social, right? By him going to the Y that offers all of these Parkinson's specific classes, that's social. A lot of times we don't understand what that social component means or what the actual definition. He's not somebody that I see moving into a community, opening the door and joining in, right? He's going to be very specific about the activities that he's participating in. He wants to make sure that they're benefiting his diagnosis and that's what he's really, that's what's driving him. So if he is to make a move, I want to make sure he can remain engaged in those activities that he's already a part of, right?
You know, to us who do this every day, it seems like, of course, why would this guy even think about looking at other, you know, places to live? In his eyes, I could kind of see it. I'd like to explore this a little more with you, Kim. We'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Show right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, Saratoga Springs, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Phil, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us in Albany or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581 or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Good morning. We're back on a snowy Saturday morning.
Well, not snowy anymore. Cleanup Saturday morning.
Cleanup Saturday morning. Yes.
Good
morning.
From the snowy.
Dave Kubikian, she is Kim Hansen. And Kim, we didn't really say what, I mean, I know people listen and they know what you do, but maybe someone is on the road right now. They don't know what you do. What do you do, Kim?
Yeah. Well, we kind of dub it as a professional daughter, I think is like the easiest way to sum it up.
A nice professional
daughter. It's a nice
daughter.
Way of doing it.
Not a bad professional daughter.
Right.
So, you know, my technical term is a geriatric care manager. So I'm really a social worker that specializes in all things aging or, you know, trying to navigate different services. You know, we talk a lot about Medicaid and things like that. But I think outside of just that Medicaid window, too, you know, providing care management services. And people hear that word care manager and they think, oh, my doctor has a care manager. There's a care manager at the hospital. Yeah. I think being what I, you know, what I do, being an aging life care manager, looking at it, it's a lot different than just those singularly focused care management positions that insurance companies have and hospitals have and doctor's offices have. And that's sort of why I was kind of picked our gentleman this morning to talk about, because it's really looking at the whole human being, and really trying to help them put together the plan that's most specific to that individual.
Yeah, and I would just add, from my standpoint, Kim, when clients are told by a hospital or by a doctor or by those other care managers, I'm sorry, you can't, you know, I'm sorry, your mom's not going to be able to go home anymore.
Right.
I feel like you're like, hold my beer. Because I'll be the judge of that. Because guess what? Let's check out the, it's not so simple. What's the house like?
Right.
What's your family like? Who's next door? Who's around?
Right. And sometimes we do come to the conclusion that maybe their house isn't accommodating. However, we're not also saying that it's time to go to the nursing home or that they have to, you know, sometimes there are a lot of other options out there that I think, unfortunately, people aren't, well, I mean, how could you know, right? This is my job. This is what
how
I do all day, every day. I'm out there. I'm exploring. I'm looking at all the, like I said, I went to visit this Parkinson's class because I wanted to see what it was all about so that I can then give that information to other people. But not knowing what it is, I can't really explain it.
How many days were you sore after the class?
Well, I didn't do the boxing class. Then, I just went and watched.
I see. It's real easy to watch the class.
I know.
A little different to do it, Kim. Well, the other thing is, you know, when people, I feel like there's a rest of the sentence. So when someone is told your mom can't go home or your mom's going to need round the clock care, that may be so, but continue the sentence. And that care could happen at home. They don't say that part.
Or it can happen, you know, again, going back to the gentleman we were just talking about. I mean, you know, people hear a four-story 150-year-old brownstone, and they're like, oh, you know.
That's what I was doing. Yeah.
Right. I mean, the one tricky thing will be getting him in and out because of the front stairs, right? There's no question that at some point getting in and out, it might be a challenge. But inside, we can completely accommodate what his needs are. I mean, every floor has a full bathroom. Like, you know, so we were just talking about all those unlimited possibilities.
So he occupies all four floors.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
heard 1,000 bottles of wine is part of a floor.
So correct. I will tell you, one of the floors, so the basement, it has an apartment, has a one-bedroom apartment that he's rented on and off.
Oh, I see.
So, of course, my mind is like, We get a live, you know, this is perfect for a live in.
Yes.
But the fourth floor also has 3 bedrooms, a full bath. Wow. So a live in can be there, but mm-hmm. that's where his exercise room is. That's where his, okay. so again,
and he goes up and down these stairs all the time.
Beautifully. Wow. So, I mean,
probably and that's, better than me.
Well, and that's one of the things too, like as I'm doing the home visit, right? I'm exploring. I'm like, show me the kitchen. And like I said, when I walk in the kitchen, he has this beautiful setup where he has plants, grow lights. So that's part of who he is, right? Yeah, that's his essence.
That's nice.
And I don't want to see people really give up all the things that make them tick just because they have a diagnosis of some sort. Because the diagnosis is hard enough to deal with. But then when we're talking about giving up all the things that have been important to us for a really long time, like he's already grieving this diagnosis and he's already grieving the things that are going to, I mean, you add losing and giving up all of the stuff that has been an important part of who he is. I'm just like, I can't, you know, I want to make sure his quality of life changes as little as possible. So that's another big thing of, you know, what we look at as doing care management is what will help this person really maintain the highest quality of life possible.
Exactly. What I think is so amazing is that you'll come across this gentleman who sounds like he's got resources and means and insurance, and he needs a little creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll have another fact pattern where there's not a lot of resources. There's not a lot of income.
Right.
And we also need the creativity. It's just going to be a little different of creativity.
Yep.
And I mean, that's why when I come to work every day, I thoroughly enjoy every meeting I have with the clients because I have no idea which kind of creativity we're going to need to use.
Which button you're going to engage.
Exactly.
That's right. That's
and
right.
So do you mind if we shift to someone, you know, about 10 minutes left here, someone who maybe doesn't have the kinds of means, what kind of questions are you trying to answer then when there might not be enough money or there isn't long-term care insurance or, you know, there isn't a studio ensuite or something?
So that's a lot of times when we do talk about, you know, and using Medicaid as part of the plan, community Medicaid. And there are a lot of components to community Medicaid as well, right? There's home care, obviously, but there's transportation, there's day program. There's, you know, the different levels of, it could be assisted living. You know, we've got clients right now that we're working with that we've got dad going into assisted living. We have mom, you know, we're doing Medicaid for both of them. They live in rural Washington County and it made more sense for dad to go to assisted living on Medicaid, mom to stay home, and provide services. She needed more physical assistance. He has an Alzheimer's diagnosis. So, you know, really looking at the dynamic too of the couple and what it would be for somebody to come in. He can be much more independent and active, actually, if he goes to the assisted living.
Right.
And then mom can get the physical care that she needs. She's not really going to tolerate somebody being in the house for lots of hours at a time.
There are a lot of people like that.
There are.
There are a lot of people.
And so you have to take that into consideration because... Yeah. We can go to bat and get all of the hours in the world, not all of the hours in the world, but we can try to maximize the amount of hours that they're going to qualify for. But if somebody is not going to tolerate it, how does that affecting their quality of life?
You know that right? My family has lived that kind of scenario.
I have.
I think what's so interesting is that when there's, you know, the insurance and the means, care management's incredibly important. When there isn't,
Care management's incredibly important.
If it's a Medicaid, community Medicaid, home care through, you know, paid through the Medicaid system, we still need care management.
Yeah.
We still need to make sure that the hours were given. First of all, we advocate for a lot of hours. Second of all, what do you do with the hours? And, oh, by the way, none of this is a snapshot. This gentleman you're talking about 6 months from now, it might be a different situation.
Correct.
It might be better. It might be worse.
Yeah.
And, you know, that daughter for hire type of thing, it's because over time things can change and you always want that same person to know.
And that's exactly right too, right? We want somebody to understand that there's consistency and continuity and that as things change and grow and evolve, there's somebody that can be there all those steps of the way. And I think that's really important, right? Is building those relationships with people, really understanding what their wishes are, what makes them tick, what they want. You know, I have a client that was just in the hospital. We did not anticipate that she was going to leave the hospital miraculously. She's got more lives than five cats, I think. We got her home yesterday, but we're just building on that plan. Like, now we've added oxygen. She's got an in-home nebulizer. Like, we're building on the plan of what she had, but without care management and without knowing where she came from.
Right.
When she presented to the hospital, they're approaching her from a completely different scenario because they see this woman in the position that she is in right now. I have a year and a half history with her, so I can say, like, I know what her home is like. I know what the caregivers that we have in place are like. I know what they're capable of. I know what we can add to make sure that she's going to be able to maintain her medical status, but also the quality of life. And her greatest wish is to die in that home. That's where she wants to be. And she kept saying in the hospital, am I going to die here? And we were like, we are going to do everything we can to get home. And lo and behold, 3:30 yesterday afternoon, she got home.
And now that you're home, we don't have to act on that dying part yet.
She's not dying.
I feel like the medical system, perhaps, when these third parties that aren't familiar with families are involved, it's like saying, well, I'm 45. I must like this kind of music and this kind of movie. Well, no.
Right.
Everyone's different. So every fact pattern is different, and we're not statistics. We're not just the diagnosis.
Yeah.
We're beyond that. And it goes without saying our firm is much better off because we have a professional daughter that people could hire, because factually we get you qualified for Medicaid, right? That's a mm-hmm. fact, right? We could look at numbers and stuff like that. I can't tell anyone it's going to work until we have someone like you that's got eyes on the fact pattern that could also say to people, yeah, this is how we're going to do it, or this is why it's not going to work. And that happens
too. Well, and we're also having those conversations ahead of time. The number of times that you, Jay Marie, and Phil say, hey, I've got this consult that I'm, let's talk to the family together to kind of see what will make sense, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of other scenarios when we don't have a team that's looking at the bigger picture, right? It's not just me. It's all of us. Like, we're all looking ahead for these folks, and we're all kind of focused on what is it that we can do for them that will kind of meet the goals of where they are, maybe be a little realistic sometimes, right? Yeah. Because sometimes we are sort of, unfortunately, the news that kind of delivers more of a realistic situation. But we're all working together, and I think with the focus of what does this individual really want? What makes them tick? How can we kind of maintain at least a piece of that for them? As opposed to just pushing paper saying, yeah, we can get you Medicaid, but then what does that mean, right?
And so everyone out there listening, or if you listen to the podcast down the road, if you have a family member that's dealing with some long-term care, maybe they just got diagnosed with something. Maybe they got diagnosed with something 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
right? Long-term care at home, long-term care outside of the home on your terms, these are all things that are doable. And I'd say that they no longer become an option when Kim Hance at Herzog Law Firm says it's no longer an option. And give us a call at 518-465-7581 if you do want to consult with Kim or Jamie.
Any
Bill
of
and
us,
myself.
Any right?
of us, of course. Yeah.
Because we're all looking at that bigger
and
picture.
It takes a village, too.
It does.
Have a great weekend, guys. Stay safe out there.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.